This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And it's 9:04, time now for Sports Saturday. Sports Saturday being brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance and Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies. Call 618-372-7077. And by the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize, Uncle Ralph, and Terry Tote.
All right, Tobinot, thank you very much, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday, a big day of sports across the state here. Of course, the state basketball tournament is rolling. Two state title games for you today as Carrollton will square off against Woodlawn for the 1A state championship, so we'll talk about that coming up. We'll have Cardinal baseball for you this morning at 11:45 on AM 1540, our first spring broadcast of the year, as the Cards will square off against the Marlins. Of course, Wainwright made his debut yesterday. Carpenter is hurt again, so lots to talk about on the Cardinal front as well. But Terry, first, the Mount Olive Lady Bullets.
Lady Bombers.
Bombers.
The Bombers. Bombers. Yes, yes. The Bombers are on their way or at the state volleyball tournament today as the Bombers take a 17-2 record into the IESA 2A state tournament, which is being played at Hayworth Junior Senior High School. And this is kind of neat because volleyball kind of gets lost in the shuffle here with March Madness and some of the other things going on. But this is when the junior high girls traditionally have their championships. And we had a chance to catch up to Andrea Prandy, the head coach of the Mount Olive Bombers. And Andrea, of course, is a native of Staunton and played in high school volleyball at Staunton High School. So she's got a little bit on the ball, but she knows a little bit about volleyball, pretty good volleyball player herself. So we had a chance earlier today, or earlier this week, to catch up with Andrea Prenny, the head coach of the Bombers of Mount Olive High School. Andrea, if you would, right off the start, would you name the kids that are on the roster for the Mount Olive Bombers 7th grade volleyball team?
Courtney Kernage, Brianna Hinkey, Rachel Kernage, Caitlin Fields, Abby Labonte, Jill Niehaus, Zoe Murphy, Kylie Gansman, Allison Branham, Ashley Russell, Maya Ross, Madison Bowman, Jenna Pfeiffer, Mackenzie Sorsen, and Madison Dexheimer.
Now, have these girls played together for a long time since they were, say, third, fourth graders?
The majority of these girls have played together in a variety of sports, softball and basketball especially. Last year was their first year as sixth graders to be volleyball players, so they have almost 2 years of playing together.
Is there a difference from the club playing to junior high level?
There is quite a bit of different game. The club level is more of the bump, set, spike every single time. A lot of the junior high, especially when they're first starting out, is more of if you can serve and pass the ball back over the net, then you're in good shape.
These young ladies have put together a fine year. Some of the competition you play, obviously, would be the teams that are located in the area. Have you been outside the area very much to play teams?
We have mostly played the schools that are in this area, the Staunton, Gillespie, Bunker Hill, Carlinville, Southwestern, most of the schools that are in the area for their high school season as well. So we play a lot of schools that are larger than us and in the classes above us. So the competition is a lot higher in our conference that we are in for junior high than, say, what we would face in the 2A conference.
And that bodes well when it comes to postseason.
Yes, it definitely does. We've played some very tough teams, especially with Carlinville, Staunton, Bunker Hill, and Southwestern, and they've definitely helped us to prepare for this day. This group of girls, very talented. They're hardworking in all that they do. This is not their first time this year at state because they were there in basketball as well. So it's definitely exciting for the school and the community and especially for these girls.
Andrea, what's the strength of your ball club?
I would say that the greatest strength that we have is we have at least every girl on the team. When we're out there, we have six of them that can serve the ball over the net. And at this level, if you serve, that's a huge advantage that you have against other teams. And I have six very good servers in the rotation. I have two very strong middle hitters. with Brianna Hinkey and Jill Niehaus, and they play the net extremely well. They can read when the ball's coming over. They're very aggressive, and they are willing to spike all the time, and they do an awesome job getting it there. My setters, Zoe Murphy, Courtney Kernich, they do an awesome job of setting them up, and our three-hit play and actually being aggressive and doing the bump set spike has gotten us very far this season.
Andrea, you know, we talk about football coaches that have different styles and basketball coaches. Volleyball coaches are the same way. Who do you pattern your style after?
I got a lot of my techniques from coaching from Donna Rurup, who was my coach in Staunton, as well as Fran Struble, who has coached in Carlinville for years. Being an athlete not too long ago in the Staunton School District, it really helped me having her as a coach to know the coaching style that, you know, has worked for her for the 30-some years that she coached.
So as you get ready to get to the state tournament, which, by the way, is being played at Hayworth, which I believe is just a little bit south of Bloomington, right?
Yes, it's about 10 miles south of Bloomington.
Going into that quarterfinal round game, it's a big day because not only do you have a quarterfinal round game, but if you win, you have to come back and play in a semifinal round. Is that different than like a normal tournament progression that you see during the year, or is that similar?
Most of the tournaments that they would have during the year, they would play them all on the same day. So it is very similar. We play our first game at 11:15. There's a game before us at 10. If we win our first game at 11:15, we will play again at 1 o'clock against the winner of the first match.
Now, you play a team from Augusta Southeastern. Do you know anything about them? Do coaches at this level have tapes that they can preview and take a look at the opposition?
No, coaches do not exchange tapes or anything at the junior high level. The only thing that we do know is that they have a really good record, and they're a very good team that can serve.
Andrea Prandy, the coach of the Mount Isla Bombers, we wish them the best of luck. They start at 11:15 today. Should they win today at 11:15, they would go on and play in the semifinals at 1 o'clock this afternoon. I think I misspoke and said it was going to be later in the afternoon during the 7:30 sports show. It would be a 1 o'clock semifinal. And if they win then, of course, they're playing for the state championship. So good luck to the Bombers today.
Absolutely. That's pretty good. You go to state in both basketball and volleyball in the same year. Well done.
You know, and that – They both have to help each other as far as learning to deal with pressure and that sort of thing. So, yeah, good luck to the Bombers today. We have one more gentleman I want to mention on the junior high level, guys. Colin Davidson from Litchfield, he's a sixth grader, competing in the IESA State Wrestling Tournament at DeKalb at Northern Illinois University. He won his first round match yesterday with a 2-0 decision. He's into the quarterfinals today, so good luck to Mr. Davidson from Litchfield.
Absolutely. So
there's a wrestling name, Davidson from Litchfield, huh?
Yeah.
How about that?
We heard that before.
We've heard that a couple of times before. So, yeah, good luck to Colin.
Make a trek to DeKalb. That's a nice little trip.
Yeah, not that far, right?
That's a sack lunch job.
By horse, it'd be, what, 2 days?
Yeah.
Maybe three?
You know, speaking of that by horse, it's hard to imagine, but I was reading an article on Abraham Lincoln, and he used to take 3 days to travel from Springfield to the old capital in Vandalia.
Yeah.
By a horse, on horseback.
Times, they is a-changing.
Thank goodness. I'm not a horse kind of guy.
Ooh, be bad on the back.
Not good. Not good. Not enough shock absorbers in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Or padding on my rear end, and I've got enough, but probably not enough for a saddle.
I always go back to when they first came out with the AstroTurf, and old Richie Allen, he said he didn't like it because his horse couldn't eat
That's right. Horses can't eat it. I don't want to play on it.
Fair point. It's good logic. Works for me. So good luck to the Mount Olive. Yes. Lady Bombers today, they will be playing in the state tournament. And, of course, the Carrollton Hawks playing for the state championship. They will tip at 2 o'clock today against Woodlawn. And they had a thrilling semifinal victory yesterday as they knocked off Illini Central by a point. They had the lead most of that game. Mm-hmm. And then Illini Central came back strong in the fourth quarter, had a lead, looked like the Hawks were in trouble. But when push came to shove, they gave the ball to Mr. Coonrod and he did the rest.
Why wouldn't you give it to him?
It's what they did in the sectional final against Nokomis. He pumped in, I think, 6 straight points late in that game, and yesterday was no different. That is a talented ball club. I remember seeing a Carrollton fan after that sectional final, and I told him, like, hey, go win the whole thing. He's like, I don't know. We got to play Brimfield in the Super. I told him, hey, rarely does the undefeated team win the whole thing. They got to lose sometime, and they handled Brimfield really with ease. And you just look at them, their roster top to bottom. They look like a state championship team. They've got all the pieces.
Well, you know, they're the defending baseball champions, and before that they had success the year before as far as baseball is concerned, basketball as well. And it was just a matter of Coach Crumwitty and the Hawks getting through. You know, your draw is so important. They had the draw this year with the teams that they matched up with, and they succeeded. And here they are playing for the Class 1A championship, and they will take on Woodlawn. Woodlawn kind of cruised by North Shore Country Day out of Winnetka. And folks around here have heard of Winnetka North Shore Country Day. A few years ago when Northwestern was, before they'd co-opt football with Greenfield, Northwestern made the football playoffs, and their trek took them to North Shore Country Day. And I'm going to tell you a true story here. Of course, we were going to broadcast the game, and so I had called up to make preparations with the AD, and Winnetka is right along the shores of Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
In the Chicagoland area, if you don't know that. So I called up there, made the arrangements, and about a day later, I get a call back. I swear to God, this is the truth. The principal at North Shore Country Day called me back and says, by the way, you're the guy's radio station, local station, said, yeah. Says, well, tell everybody not to bring their shotguns because we know what kind of people you are. I'm going, sir, I don't think you know what kind of people we are. He says, well, everybody brings shotguns to football games down there, don't they? And I said, no, I don't know of anybody that brings a shotgun to a football game. They may bring a penny jug and maybe a cowbell, but I don't know of anything. He swore that people were going to bring shotguns to the game. I said, I can assure you, nobody will.
And
I tried to explain to him that was not the case, but I did call Northwestern High School and said, dress in camouflage and take your duck call.
Yeah, exactly.
And they did.
Nice. Well, so, all you got to say to that guy is, I'll tell my fans not to bring shotguns if you tell your fans not to bring their handguns.
Yeah. Or switchblades.
That's right.
You know, and, you know, you talk about stereotyping,
right.
You know, areas of the that's crazy.
Wow.
That's crazy. Yeah, I got a call, and he's tell them not to bring a shotgun. I'm going, are you kidding me? What world are you in? But, again,
a fine educator right there.
Yeah, he was well versed.
Yes, yes.
Of course, the Hawks' opponent today in the title game, Woodlawn, they are very familiar with this situation. They won state a few years ago, finished second not that long ago either, so they're very accustomed to the stage of the state title game.
And that ought to be a heck of a matchup this afternoon.
So.
And I bet you the winning team doesn't score but about 45 or 50 points.
It should be nip and tuck the whole way.
In that game. Should be a great, you know, two private or public schools here going at it for the championship.
And one of the downsides of the four-class system is you got a state championship game that tips in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah. That's
probably, a bit unfortunate, I think.
That's a bit unfortunate. And that's part of what hurts the crowds.
Yeah.
And we've got an interview coming up with Chuck Rolinski, who is the father of the multi-class system, and it's very interesting. He mentions, talks a little bit about the crowds and that sort of thing. Also in 2A boys basketball, of course, you got Breeze Central, the number one ranked team in the state. They beat the number two ranked team in the state last night, Seton Academy, and boy, that was a tight game. But they went to Mr. Book, and he closed the book on Seton Academy. So he's should be a great game today with Normal, U-High, the Pioneers. So basically, the 1A and 2A schools at Central and Southern Illinois doing the competing
in public schools.
In public schools.
Yeah.
Shocking.
It is.
Shocking.
It really is.
I had lunch this week with a friend of mine from Carlisle, and he says, this Breeze Central is the real deal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
He said, they're awesome.
Their defense was awesome. Very awesome last night. Their little point guard. Mm. Grapperhaus, I guess is the name.
Grapperhaus.
Terrific. By the way, if you were watching the ball games last night, did you see the officials? Our buddies, Dan Smith, Todd Brook, Rick Toll, they officiated that first game with Normal University and Rockford Lutheran. And then Doug Strome, Bob Engel, and John McAvoy, who I've seen frequently this year, had the Breeze Central game last night. Yeah. So it's always good to see our local guys
Yeah, and had
you know, and whether you like to believe it or not, there are different ways of officiating.
Oh yeah,
there's a Chicago version, then there's a Central Illinois version, and there's a deep Southern Illinois version of it. And we had the Central Illinois version of it last night, and we're very familiar with that sort of.
One of the best high school basketball games I ever saw was at the state tournament back in the day of the two class system. Yeah. It was double A, and it was Fenwick who had Corey Maggette. Uh-huh. At the time, mm-hmm. against Maine West, who had Lucas Johnston and who went to Illinois,
right.
and Kevin Fry, who wound up going to Xavier. And it was Chicago Public League officials, best, most physical high school yeah. basketball game I've ever seen. There was blood all over the floor. It was great.
But
it was
that's,
good
But
stuff.
That's public league. You know, that, exactly, that was the public yeah. league style of play. Yeah.
It's entertaining.
Oh, it is. It's you went, you know, it's
yeah, you let
it's,
the kids
it's basically
decide.
College and professional oriented type officiating.
That's right. We need to get to a break yeah. here on Sports Saturday. We're back. Follow me in these messages.
Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Law Officer at Security National Bank. Farmers, it's time to get your spring finances in order, and we're ready to help you at Security National Bank, a small-town bank where we know your name with an established reputation in the area since 1932. We can help with all your ag lending needs. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, housing lender.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech, or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's MidwestBasementTech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment.
And at 9:21, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sunny skies for today. We'll have highs in the low 60s, mostly clear for tonight. Expect lows in the low 40s. And then for tomorrow, becoming cloudy, there is a chance for some rain. Expect a high around 60. Extend a look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies. It will be warmer. Highs will be in the upper 60s to the mid 70s. The lows will be in the low to mid 50s. Right now at 9:21, we have a temperature reading of 44 degrees. And the weather forecast is being brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues in just a moment.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
And at 9:22, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Uncle Ralph, and Terry Tote.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Tobinot. Welcome back to Sports Saturday. We just had a phone call from a listener wanting to know about how to tune in to these state championship games. Now, if you have satellite TV,
you're out of luck.
You're out of luck. You're not going to get it on satellite TV. Now, if you have regular cable, it's channel...
Well, Consolidated, I get it on, I think it's 17, it's WCIX. It used to be Channel 49 out of Springfield. It used to be the repeater signal of Channel 3 out of Champaign, but yeah. It's on Consolidated, the Consolidated
yeah,
package.
Channel 49, I think.
So.
But if you got satellite, you're not going to get it.
If you have
DirecTV like, or Dish, you're not getting
you
it.
You will not get it unless you pay for it special.
Right.
So it's not included in the regular package.
Yeah.
I have the regular package.
I love DirecTV, had it for years. That's my only gripe is you can't get the Illinois high school
and
stuff.
You can get
all the Missouri stuff on Fox Sports Midwest.
And I know Consolidated is one of our sponsors, and I'm going to give them a plug right here, but that's one of the reasons I went with these guys, because I like the state tournaments, and I want to watch them.
There you go. Yeah, I wish I had them.
I had them.
I wish I got them.
And I'm a little amazed that...
And I tell you what, they look great on a big screen TV.
Yes, they do. And I'm a little amazed that, you know, the distribution through the TV networks isn't a little bit more for the state tournament. You know, a little better opportunity, I'm trying to pick up.
They're also available on ESPN 3.
Yeah, you can stream them.
You can stream them on the internet.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
Although that's kind of...
How many people you think are in Carrollton right now?
Zero.
Put the over.
Okay,
if you put
14.
If you put the over under at seven people in Carrollton right now, I'm taking the under.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of those, like, movie situations, old school.
It's old Hoosier.
Close up the shop, board up the windows. You got a caravan all the way up to Peoria from Carrollton.
We'll be back. We'll be open again Monday.
That's right.
And guys, I know it's been mentioned on here, but one more time, if you're out and about this morning, the Hillsboro Sports Association's having biscuits and gravy and sausage and pancakes at the Moose.
And more importantly, you can sign up for summer baseball and softball. And this, I think, is the last day to do that.
This is the last day to do that also, and it's for a very good cause. It's for summer baseball programs in the Hillsboro area. So if you're hungry, go buy the Moose and help them out.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You know, today, I know where I was, what I was doing 40 years ago today.
Oh, yeah, I know what you were doing.
Okay. First off, it's one of my best friend's birthdays, Vern Pinkston. Happy birthday, bud.
Nice.
Vern's still getting older.
Vern's still getting older, and I'm a little bit older than he is, so he'll never catch up with me. But we were at the Assembly Hall watching Lincoln Wood and Gibson City play in the first Class 1A quarterfinal round game. Not the first game, but the first day of games.
Right.
When they brought the eight teams in. So this is the 40th anniversary of the multi-class system, the fifth anniversary of the four-class system. And earlier this week, I think we've got time to go ahead and run this interview right now, had a chance to catch up with Chuck Rolinski, who's a guy who's been around basketball forever. He's considered to be the father of the two-class system. He started out at a very small high school at Toluca, which is a very small high school in kind of the north-central part of the state. And going all the way back before the two-class system, the smaller schools had to compete in districts and then get to the regional tournament. Ralph, you remember, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Here. Yeah, yeah. Not everybody, but a lot of the little schools had to compete in districts. So I had a chance to catch up with Chuck Rolinski this week, who I've known through the Illinois Basketball Coaches Association. Great guy to talk to. And he had some thoughts about the two-class system and now the four-class system and maybe some of the problems with it. Here's Chuck Rolinski.
I started here in 56, 57. We were fortunate. We were in a regional, even though we were a small school. And then because of the new schools coming in the north, Lockport Central, East, West, and so forth, and those schools, they took our regional away from us, meaning that they put us in a district. And then I saw that the problem that district schools had, because we went into a district here in 68, 69, 70, 71, and we won it all 4 years. We were fortunate, but they sent us down to Peoria then into the regional, where you play the number four on Monday, number one on Wednesday, and number two on Friday if you're fortunate enough to win. So I could see that the problem with the district schools were facing, it was almost impossible for many district schools to advance past the regional in some areas. And so as a result, we got together and I thought, this really, because of the power shifting, the power was shifting from the south to the north. It was going to the industrial cities. And you could see that we were in a Pekin tournament for many years, playing the bigger schools. We could see that the teams were getting tougher, stronger. And it wasn't Benton, it wasn't, Pinckneyville, and the familiar names in the south anymore, Collinsville and so forth. The power was shifting up to the suburbs and into the Chicago system. And so as a result, we thought that, the two-class system would be the way to go. So we started our campaign again for a two-class system. The reason being, it wasn't because we wanted to win the state. It was because we wanted to win a regional. A regional is the name of the game for any coach, I think, today. In other words, the goal start of the season, it, to me, should be, win the regional. And all the other games, when you really get down to it, Terry, it's great to win your conference. But technically, those are practice games, in my mind, to get ready for the regional. And because when you win a regional, then you get into a sectional, and you have a chance to win that sectional because teams really even up when you get in there. And we thought that if anybody was being discriminated against, it was a district, the small schools, the district schools, because we had to qualify just to be able to play in the regional. And so that, everybody said, well, you fought for class basketball because you wanted to win the state. No, that's not it at all. A lot of people really love the two-class system. because of the you got the large schools and the small schools, and now we've got four classes, and it's really changed a lot, Terry. To me, it's hurt it a little bit, especially on the girls' level. It's hurt the crowds. I think they've got a real problem here, and I really don't know what the ITSA can do at this point. I think you're still going to seek the schools on the regional championships now, and the sectional championships. I think you're going to see fairly good crowds there, and super sectionals if they don't have to travel too far.
Of course, Chuck, one of the things that the IHSA is worried about is about getting good crowds at the state basketball tournaments. Sometimes I think they're very concerned about what schools make the state tournament.
And when you bring Chicago schools down or the parochial schools from Chicago, they just don't travel. And so the IHSA has their fingers crossed a lot of times on who wins and who loses.
Chuck Rolinski, who is considered the father of the two-class basketball system, he made a lot of valid points. And one thing I've said on this show before, that the original premise of the Class A tournament was to get the winner of the Class A tournament, 1A tournament, and put him into the quarterfinal run of the Double A. He says that was never part of it. He says that was some rumors that...
Urban legend
that maybe some other coaches had mentioned, and that was never part of his plan for the two-class system. And I mentioned 40 years ago, I was sitting in the assembly hall, and the Lincolnwood basketball team won the regional at Rochester, won the sectional at Shelbyville, won the super sectional at Millikan University, played at the assembly hall against Gibson City. The Gibson City Greyhounds, they had a kid named Dennis Graff. He averaged... like 9,000 points a ball game, it seemed like, and he was actually was the leading scorer that year in the state of Illinois. Just so happens that one of our sponsors, Jersey County Grain Company, Tom Duringer, is from Gibson City, and Tom was a sophomore that year, and I was a sophomore that year, and we were both sitting in the assembly hall watching that basketball game, and we were both sitting on opposite sides of the assembly hall, of course, and I had a chance just by virtue of farm directors, when Rita was here, Rita mentioned, some things to Tom, and finally we got around to basketball, and finally we got around to knowing that Tom was from Gibson City, and of course, I followed the Lancers when I was in high school there. I had a chance to catch up with Tom, talk just a little bit about that Gibson City and Lincolnwood matchup 40 years ago today.
I kind of remember a lot of it like it was just yesterday. I mean, that was back in 72, like you're saying, the first year that we went to the AA and AA, which, finally gave school sizes like where you're and I'm from, a chance to get into the big dance, so to speak. And Gibson City just had a marvelous, fantastic team that year, especially that their first five guys. They were just totally unbelievable, fun team to watch.
Tom, the one guy I remember was the Gibson City gunner, Dennis Graff.
Yeah, Denny was something else. I mean, like I said, that was in the two-point area before we had the three-point shot. If we'd had it then, he'd have averaged 45 to 50 points a game. As it was, he led the state in scoring that year with about a 33.7 scoring average per game.
And, of course, the game was a very close game all the way through and wasn't decided until the final seconds of the ball game.
Yeah, honestly, that probably wasn't one of our better games that we'd played. I remember we were missing some shots and definitely missed more free throws. We were a 70 or 80% free throw shooting team, and we just missed more shots than we normally would during a regular game. I remember that Gibson was up 66-60, like you're saying, 3 minutes to go, and then our coach, Jack Wright, tried to stall the game out.
That takes you right out of a game a lot of times.
Yeah, and it wasn't the game that Gibson City had played all year. We averaged like 72 points a game. It was a very good defensive team because they held the majority of their opponents to 54, so we always won, seemed like, 18, 20, 25 points a game. Now we're up by 6 in the biggest game of our lives, and we do something that's totally out of character for that, and that was just try to stall. And it didn't work, and frankly, we could not stop your Dave Hobson, the best all-around player that Gibson faced that year.
He had a quick first step. He had a good read on the basket. Dave was just a good all-around ball player and went on and had a terrific career at Illinois College and set all sorts of records and still owns all the records. Tom, was that the best team ever at GC?
In my mind, it was the best starting five. The 79-80 team guy had a team, or a guy by the name of Jay Meyer on that team. They went to Elite Eight as well. I think they were probably a deeper squad than what the 72 team was. But starting five, nobody could touch him.
And that was Tom Derringer, who was a Gibson City Greyhound back in 1972, and he was on that side of the Assembly Hall. I was on the other side. And Tim, I brought in the disc about five years ago. Lincoln would honor the basketball team, and quite frankly, I never had seen the disc till just recently. And boy, Gibson City missed a lot of free throws. Tom was right; they did miss a ton of free throws in that ball game. So, and those were the days where you always had a jump ball to start the quarter. You had jump balls at the free throw lines. You always shot the free throw fouls. Now you don't shoot them until you get into the bonus. You know, it's just a little bit different game. No 3-point line.
Yeah, for me, I watched a little bit of that disc when you brought it in. And for me, it was odd to see because that game was played basically 10 years before I was even born.
Yeah.
To see no 3-point line on the floor. To see like the old rounded backboard.
Fan-shaped backboard,
the short shorts. Like, whoa. It's like they're playing in their underwear. They forgot their uniforms. What's going on?
You know, today, the basketball uniforms from them look like the girls' volleyball uniforms now.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they do.
That's right.
You reminisce back about some of those things, and you talk about the old system, and I think back to guys like Scheidler from Lawrenceville, you know.
Oh, yeah.
How many points would he have scored if there had been a 3-point
line? I was there at the state tournament that weekend. He was there, and he had a terrible shooting game that first game. He was just couldn't hit the broadside of a barn and still had 25 points.
Yeah.
And this guy literally, and you're talking about a 94-foot court at the, you know, at the Assembly.
Right.
Literally, he took two steps inside the midcourt stripe and shot.
To me, that is insane, though. When there's no 3-point line. Because, like, today, the worst shot in basketball is the 18-footer when you're a step in front of the 3-point line. So if every basket's worth two, why in God's creation would you pull up at half court and shoot it?
Well, because he can make it.
Because he can make it.
That guy drained him. We went down to watch him play one night, and that guy was unbelievable. He came out, and in the first quarter, I think he hit four or five shots, it must have been 35-footers, you know, and just bottom of the net.
Yeah. Well, I know Coach Lafka has told me a story before. It was in the 80s. I don't remember the game, and I don't remember the player, but it was, I think, like a sectional semifinal or a sectional final postseason game. Bunker Hill was winning late, and they called the timeout, and Coach Lafka said, all right, he's like, we don't shoot it unless you absolutely know you're going to make it. Everyone got it? Yeah, Coach, yep. Come out of the timeout, they make one pass, and this dude lets it fly from like 25 feet. As soon as the ball leaves his hand, Lofke's calling timeout. It goes in. And he calls the timeout. He's like, what did I just say? And the kid just straight face said, don't shoot it unless you're absolutely sure you're going to make it. He's like, yeah. He's like, I knew I was going to make it.
There you go.
Yeah.
The logic of it is impeccable.
I mean, when you tell a shooter, don't shoot unless you're absolutely sure you're going to make it, you always think you're going to make it.
And Ralph, you mentioned about, and Tim, you too, about how few people are probably left in Carrollton today, and that's it. And I can remember 40 years ago how very few people were left in the Panhandle School District. You know, there was just a huge, huge following and a huge crowd, and that's what really made it special, because you got to go and watch the team, and you saw, you know, all your friends and neighbors and classmates there, and it just really made it a terrifically special time.
And on the trip up, you know, you pass all the vehicles with the painting on the vehicles, you know, Go Hawks or whatever. It's a very neat atmosphere on the trip up.
Probably one of the neatest things I remember was headed to Millikan University for the Super Sectional. Of course, most everybody just shot right up 48. And you could see miles and miles of headlights going north and then coming back after the ball game.
Good old
miles
caravan.
And miles and miles. I had a picture of it somewhere. And it wasn't a very clear picture, but you could just see forever, and it was nothing but a line of cars coming home from the ball game.
And that's something, though, when the baseball team went to state, Raymond was always up there too, weren't they, when they were when they won the state title.
Well, there was a good crowd there, but, you know, that was so far north in Joliet. Plus, you know, you don't have... There was 360-plus kids when I was in high school.
Yeah.
It's only about 150 now, so you got a lot, you know, a lot fewer mm-hmm. kids, a lot less families. Right. And it was such a long drive, and it was, you know, it was just very difficult. Thank God we had it on the radio, I think, because a lot of people did tune in and, yeah. and were glad to catch the radio broadcast. But Lincolnwood did have a good following up there. Probably of the small schools that were not from the immediate area, they probably had as well as good of a draw as anybody.
I remember back in 93 when Staunton had their
Staunton had
their run. You could have just taken the town hostage when they were in the super sectional, which is still probably one of the best basketball games I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And then when they were in the state, you could have just taken that town hostage. Everyone was there.
Well, you know, when the Toppers had Luke Cass and Tim Tone, those guys and you know had a terrific. Oh God, those guys were just awesome. Everywhere you go, the stands were packed. And I remember they had the regional at Lincolnwood that year. And, I mean, I'm not sure I ever saw a bigger crowd for a regional championship game. They were piled into the corners. They were piled on the end lines. They were piled everywhere. People were squeezed together, for God's sakes. It was uncool.
And that was a good team.
Oh, that was a team.
The team should have won the state.
Well, they you know.
They were undefeated right into the Super.
Mm-hmm. Undefeated into the Super. You know, and as we say, a lot of it has to do with your path, your draw, how you match up, that sort of thing. And it's not easy to win a regional, let alone go to state.
And then even with all those things, maybe you got a favorable draw.
Yeah.
Or maybe you match up well with everyone. You still got to play well.
You still got to play your game, which to me is so impressive
about what Carrollton has done. Because you think about their postseason run, it has not been ideal. Crumwoody suspended for the regional, so you don't have your head coach for the regional. You win that. You move into the sectional where you get a top five team in the state. You're down 20 at the half. Mm-hmm. You come back and win in double OT. Then you get the host Redskins on their home floor for the sectional final, take care of them, and then get an undefeated squad in the Super. So, I mean, it's not like they've got a favorable draw, but they're a matchup nightmare. At every position, they've got a quality basketball player.
And they I don't know. And sometimes it takes a little luck.
Yeah. Well,
and absolutely. Every coach will tell you that if you're successful, you got to have some luck along the way. And Lady Luck is not that, you know, anybody would deny it, but a little bit of luck goes a long way sometimes. And especially when they were down 20 points.
Well, that's it right there.
Right there. You know, generally, en route to a state tournament, there's always a game.
That's right.
There was the game right there.
That's right. When you look back, you always think, boy, we should have lost that game.
Yeah.
Every state champion has it. Every single tournament, every year has it. With the exception maybe of Quincy Notre Dame this year in the girls.
But you know what? The Quincy Notre Dame girls, they could not have played in the 4A.
Yeah.
I'd like to see them try, though. I would like to see them try, but Whitney Young was awesome.
Yeah.
I might buy a ticket to go watch that game if Quincy Notre Dame played Chicago Whitney Young. That
would be a game to watch.
That would be a ball game to see.
I think Whitney Young was just a step quicker. And Quincy Notre Dame was quick.
Yeah.
But Whitney Young was a step quicker.
And see, that's the difference between a great small school team and a great big school team.
Chicago.
Well, night and day. Yeah.
You know, Terry, you talk about there's always that one game. And in 06, when the girls from Millsboro won the state tournament, you did, I think, all of the games. And you and I can remember, and I went to all the games, you and I can remember a couple games in there where they could have lost real easy.
You know. Any team faces that. You know, going back 40 years ago in the Super Sectional was Lincolnwood. Dave Hobson had 4 fouls in the first half in a game against Chrisman, for God's sakes, and played the entire second half without picking up his fifth foul.
And that's why people that want to judge a team's success or a coach's success based on postseason runs, it's really not a fair way.
No, it's not.
To do it, because so many different factors that you have no control over come into play in the postseason.
And by the way, I've seen in the paper where the Daniels girl got married and Hope Scholey and Maria Prettner and all of them were in the wedding, you know, so.
And Illinois Wesleyan, by the way, since speaking of Hope and of course, Olivia Lett playing there is her senior year. She scored 26 last night, so Wesleyan's into the championship game tonight against a team they've already beaten 3 times.
She's already...
That might not necessarily be good, though.
That may not be very good. That's going to be tough.
She has had a bang-up year at Wesleyan this year. Olivia has. And
This is such a great time of year with all the basketball going. You know, the high school state tournaments and the NCAA's coming up. And it's just, you know, if you're a basketball junkie, you can OD.
Yeah. These next 2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
Are about as good as it gets for someone who loves basketball.
You know, you could talk about the Super Bowl.
You can have it.
You can have it. You know, the 1 3-week period of the NCAA tournament.
There's nothing like it.
I think it's just so bizarrely captivating.
Yes.
Even non-basketball fans.
It always lives up to the hype.
It does.
This first weekend, every year, the first weekend of the tournament lives up to it. You go into it expecting buzzer beaters and close games.
And there'll be a dozen buzzer beaters.
It always delivers.
Yes.
It always does.
And there'll be a David or two will jump up and strike Goliath.
And everybody's wondering, when will there be a 16-1?
It'll happen. Yeah.
Somewhere along the way, it's going to happen.
It will happen.
The
at
odds
some point
are
in time.
Somebody will get sent home early.
And I can only hope that it happens when Carolina's a one seed.
Being a dookie, right?
That's right. We can only be so lucky. We can only be so lucky.
If you don't mince words, Tim. What do you feel about North Carolina?
No, I don't care for North Carolina too much, Jerry.
I don't know about you guys, but I hate to look at that list. I'd hate to have to lay my finger on one team that I thought was going to win it right now. There's a lot of possibilities.
I mean, Kentucky is hands down the best team. There's no doubt about that, but they're so young.
Yeah.
So young, and to win 6 games in a row with that type of youth, hard to do.
Kentucky only has one loss. You're looking at a champion.
And that was at the buzzer.
Your champion probably is going to have 4 or 5 losses.
Yeah. Just like last year with UConn. It's about who gets hot at the right time.
That's right. And you've always got the Dukes and the North Carolinas. And I tell you what, right across the river is a pretty good ball club, this Missouri ball club.
Yeah. I tell you what, I think St. Louis, SLU, they might make some noise this year. Rick Majerus has got them rolling good.
Yeah. That's a team with Missouri really being upper 5 now. SLU's kind of been pushed to the side, but that may work to their advantage.
And if Missouri wins today in the Big 12 championship, they probably will get a 1 seed.
Oh, I would think so. I don't know
why
they
would. Kansas losing last night, and they split with the Jayhawks. So if Mizzou can win today, they're probably in line for what I think would be their first number 1 seed ever. I don't think they've ever had a 1 seed.
No, I don't think they have either. But, yeah, that's very possible they could be a number 1.
You know, one thing, Tim, we mentioned about a 3-week period with the NCAA tournament where people who don't follow college basketball follow college basketball for that. But nothing drives the discussion about seedings, pairings, places that you're sent more than the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. No,
why did such and such get sent here? Why did they get a number 5 instead of a number 4? Why did they get a number, Look, just absolutely overwhelming the number of people who become NCAA basketball tournament fans at this time of year.
I mean, look at Illinois back when they made their Final Four run. That they started off Chicago, Indianapolis,
never had to get on a plane.
Yeah,
St. Louis. I mean, you
couldn't.
You couldn't have gotten a cushier deal than that.
That's what happens though when you're the top overall seed in the NCAA tournament. And Kentucky will have that this year. They will be close to home, and you should be. You should be rewarded for a great, for your entire season's body of work.
Absolutely.
And if you want a good trivia question, has any Division I athletic director ever fired all 3 of his main coaches in 1 year?
Oh, I'm sure somewhere along the line somebody has.
I tell you what, I'd hate to be the baseball coach over up in Champaign. I tell you, women's basketball
coach. They're all walking on eggshells.
Well,
this
baseball team has been
women's basketball
has been
gone
competitive here in recent years, and so I don't know.
I don't know, but the AD, he's on a fire.
Well, this is what happens. Here's the deal. What are your sports that draw attention? It's basketball and football.
Big revenue sports.
Right. They're your revenue sports.
And it always happens. When you get a new AD, inevitably they come in, they clean house, get their own coaches. Because when push comes to shove, their job is
on
the
line
with how the football team performs, how the basketball team performs. So you want your guys with your philosophies in those positions to make sure that, hey, if I'm on the line, too, I want to feel comfortable with the people in those positions.
Yeah, it's all about MONEY, too, because, they're planning major renovations to the Assembly Hall. They want to make sure that place gets
built.
Beyond
that, though, that's a whole separate situation with the University of Illinois. This is about TV money about appearances on TV and about the fact you are a Big Ten Conference school, and traditionally, let's face it, Illinois is a basketball school.
No doubt.
Footballers may get mad, but Illinois hasn't been a football school for a long time. They've been a basketball school.
When did Red Grange go to Illinois?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's been a while. Yes, you want to see success in the Big Ten Conference. You want to see success with a bowl game once in a while. But Illinois hasn't been consistent as they have been in basketball.
Yeah, and it's been a steady decline since their appearance in the national championship game. So, unfortunately, for Bruce Weber, that's the life of big-time college athletics right there. Nice guy, all that, but you got to win.
But
I happened to see his news conference yesterday on on the cable, Ralph, because they interrupted the basketball tournament with the news conference from Bruce Weber. And you know, he praised a lot of people, and you're right, Tim. He is a good guy.
He is.
And you point out this is probably his first time he's ever been fired.
I think it is, because he was an assistant for Gene Katie at Purdue for decades and then went to Carbondale and then left Carbondale for U of I. So probably the first time he's ever been fired in his coaching career, which is amazing.
Yeah, and a lot of talk that he's headed back to Southern.
Good place for him.
You know, he really excelled at Southern.
And he'll get that program back on the map, no doubt.
If he wants to head back to Southern.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he'll have a choice.
Yeah.
He'll be a college basketball coach somewhere.
Oh yeah.
Next year. Yeah. There's no question about that. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to switch our attention to the Cardinals, as we've got Cardinal baseball coming up for you this morning at 11:45 on AM 1540. We'll talk Cards after this.
Extra pounds aren't healthy, so slim down for spring by counting calories and fat grams now. Eat balanced meals in moderation with plenty of farmer-owned Prairie Farms low-fat and non-fat dairy products, like non-fat cottage cheese and non-fat sour cream, as well as skim, 0.5%, and 1% milk. Plan your snacks by including Prairie Farms low-fat yogurt. And for extra vitamin C while losing weight, remember 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms.
And at 9:51, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sunny skies for today. Expect highs in the low 60s. Mostly clear for tonight. We'll have lows in the low 40s. And then for tomorrow, becoming cloudy, there is a chance for some rain. Expect a high Sunday in the low 60s. Extended look for the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies. It will be warmer. Expect highs in the upper 60s to the mid-70s. We'll have lows in the mid-50s. Right now at 9:51, we have a temperature reading of 46 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues in 1 minute.
If you're a farmer or an agribusiness, it's good to bank with people you know and trust. Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Loan Officer at Security National Bank. I specialize in ag lending, and Security National Bank's ag lending staff is experienced and ready to serve all your farming needs. We offer competitive rates. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with 4 locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Since 1899, 4 generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
Coming up this morning at 11:45, we will have St. Louis Cardinal baseball for you on AM 1540, as the Cardinals will be playing the Miami Marlins, and that's going to take some time to get used to saying, the Miami Marlins.
Well, they're just going to be the Marlins.
Just the Marlins?
It's kind of like the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Located in Orange County.
In Orange County. They're just the Angels.
Miami could be a much better ball club.
Very much so. They improved a lot with, they got one of the top closers. Got Jose Reyes, Josh Johnson back.
The money they spent, they better be better.
The team to keep an eye out for, though, Washington Nationals.
They
made some good moves.
They've kind of suddenly turned into the trendy pick, the Washington Nationals. The problem is, they play in the same division as the Phillies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the Braves.
And the Braves.
Yeah, And now the Redskins are making some noise, too.
That's the wrong
Rams
sport.
Are, you know, so yeah, that, looking up in Washington.
That it is, for now, yeah, until for the now. Season actually starts.
Yeah.
And then we'll see where they're at. But for the Cardinals, bad news out of Jupiter. Chris Carpenter is hurt again. Not surprising, really. I mean, the dude's thrown a crazy amount of innings over the last few years. And, of course, they rode him all the way to the World Championship last year. But I guess a nerve issue in his neck. And it's kind of up in the air right now as to what his status is going to be. But, man.
Well, talk to Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about the Cardinals and – thing about the history of baseball, if you look at the baseball historically, especially the last decade or so, no team has repeated as World Series champions. They just, because of free agency, things change so much. Cardinals are a team in flux, whether we like to admit it or not. I think there could be a pretty good team in flux, but they're still in flux. And a lot of times, a team will come in, they will be successful, they'll come in and compete the first month or two of the season, and then they'll have breakdowns, injuries, and they can never recover. It seems like that happens almost every time a team wins a World Series. Next year,
that's right,
they suffer some problems along, because
you play an extra month.
Oh, yeah. You don't get that full recovery time. So with the Cardinals, you just hope that Carpenter's not lost for the season.
And it's amazing, though, in the Cardinals' illustrious history, they've never won back-to-back World Series. Mm. Never. I find that amazing.
That's one of the toughest things to do. I think, Toronto was the last one that did it.
No, the Yankees have done it.
They did it three in a row.
Yeah,
did they?
Four, okay, in a row. The Yankees won four in a row.
I think it was three. They lost three? The fourth
you
year.
You sure
the
back in
they lost in 2001.
Yeah.
To the Diamondbacks.
When everybody wanted them to win because of 9/11.
Right. Yeah, the year everyone was actually rooting for the Yankees, they lost.
Diamondbacks lost.
Yeah, they won it 98, 99, 2000, and lost 2001. Yeah.
I was thinking back in the late 40s, I thought the Yankees.
Oh, back then, they might have.
They won four.
In
the era where we have multiple rounds of playoffs.
Yeah, not now. Yeah. No, not now. They won three. Yeah.
You're right, Rob. You're right.
But yeah, they only won three in a row in the modern era.
Well, you know, the Cardinals, see, to my knowledge, they only played in back-to-back World Series recently, as I can remember, in 67, 68. They won 67 and lost to the Tigers in
68.
Beat the Red Sox in 67, lost to the Tigers in 68.
They lost to Mickey Lolich in 68. God, he beat him three times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think the Cardinals won back-to-back in the 40s.
They've never won back-to-back.
No, never
have. They've alternated years.
Yeah.
You know, I think they won 42, 44. But they've never won back-to-back championships.
They won 42, 44, but they lost to the Yankees in 43.
Okay.
Just amazing that they've never won back-to-back, but it's hard to do.
But, you know, we talk about winning a regional in basketball.
Right.
You know, when you stick together a 162-game schedule like you do now, and just the fact that free agency changes the landscape virtually every year, and then you factor in injuries – it's hard to repeat your success.
And with the injury to Carpenter, do you think that Roy Oswalt is sitting somewhere smiling, thinking,
I got
now they
money
need
coming.
Me. Now they need me, because he wanted to come to the Cardinals. Yeah. But the Cardinals, they were set in the rotation. They didn't really want to pay him what he was looking for, but I bet you they look at it now.
I bet they are. And he's, like you said, going, well, how many zeros can we get pasted on the back of that?
Yeah, that's exactly
but
right.
But Roy's had his health issues, too.
That's true, but...
Every pitcher has their health issues.
Well, that's true, too.
That
I mean,
it's not a natural motion for the body. Trust me, it's not.
One,
just isn't.
The one thing that's in the Cardinals' favor is, once again, the division they set in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're head and shoulders the best team in that division.
Yeah.
The Reds have gotten better. The Brewers have not gotten better.
They've went the other way.
Yeah. And the Pirates are still the Pirates.
The Pirates will be better. I think the Astros are still the Astros. Pirates are coming up. They've got a lot of young ball players. If they don't have to trade them off to get money.
Pirates will get that close to reaching 500, and they'll say, well, it's too expensive. We're going to have to get rid of some of these guys.
They didn't just lock up that McCutcheon, which was good to see for the Pirates, but they just can't catch a break. You know, they finally get a top-of-the-rotation guy in A.J. Burnett, and his first day of spring training, he bunts a ball off his face and breaks his eye socket. Can we catch a break?
Which
please.
Is another reason, perhaps, to go to the DH.
Get it in both leagues, please.
You know, it needs to be the same in either league. Whatever you decide, make it the same in both the National and American League.
And I'm crazy enough to say that, just what he said, get it in both leagues. I'm not against the DH, but I am against it only being in one league.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to have separate rules
for
half of the league. It's illogical.
It's the foul pole syndrome.
It's baseball.
Sure it is.
But, you know, it's as much money as you're paying these pitchers now, you don't want your pitcher breaking his face bunting or getting up in it on the bases
or
pulling
face
a hamstring.
With a mask, you know, like a lot of the softball players and baseball players at high school level have.
Yeah.
I guess you could be carny. I guess you could be carny, Tim, and say all he was doing was getting a good look at the ball.
He got a good look at it, all right. The ball got a good look at him as well.
Close and personal?
It's a little too close, a little too personal. Sports Saturday is done. Cardinal baseball coming up this morning at 11:45 on AM 1540. That'll be the Cardinals and the Marlins, our first spring broadcast of 2012. Good luck to the Carrollton Hawks. They will play Woodlawn today for the 1A State Boys Basketball Championship. So good luck to the Hawks. Sports Saturday is through. For Tobin, Terry, Uncle Ralph, I am Tim. This is your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.